Israelites to be prepared when the tribulation comes, when he comes to establish his eternal kingdom here on this earth. And I want to encourage you this morning with something. Jesus is coming back. You may have heard that for a long time. You may have not heard it that much, but he's coming. And he is going to rapture those that are true believers out of here, which is kind of a scary thought for those of you who maybe have heard the gospel, you've heard the word of God, but you've not received Jesus. And it's going to be a fearful time when the rapture takes place because you're going to be left behind. You'll experience what we taught through Matthew 24 and through 25, that is the tribulation. However, if you have true relationship with God through Jesus Christ, then you'll be taken out of here. And the things we learned in chapter 24 about the tribulation, thank God you're not going to need to go through that. Aren't you glad for that? I am. However, there will be a host of people that are going to get left. And what's sad and what breaks my heart is there's a lot of people that are going to be located in the church. I mean, I'm talking generally speaking. Today we sort of have a skeletal crowd this morning. That's okay. Everybody who's important came, right? And what I want you to understand, though, is that Jesus wants to issue warning to those who act as though they're part of the family of God, but they're not, in fact, part of the family of God. And so that you would have a group of people that would claim to be a part of the wedding party, claim to be a member of the wedding party, do all of the outward things, make everybody really think, hey, this is a part of the wedding party. Have the lamp. Have all of the things that you need. I mean, all of the outward things that you need, but no oil. We said last week, remember? You have 10 virgins. The virgins implies you have people that are part of this wedding party who are claiming to be saved. They're claiming to have Jesus, but they only have an outward show. They only have sort of an outward rudiment. They have nothing that's inward. There's no true relationship. There's no oil. And I want you to know, Jesus is concerned about this. I'm concerned about it this morning. I'm concerned. I'm concerned that it might be this morning that some are here and don't know Christ. And I want you to listen this morning because you have an amazing opportunity right now. This is your opportunity right now to hear God's word. And the Holy Spirit, use His word to speak to your heart and help you know where you are. So that if you're not sure where you're going to go when you die, if you're not sure of your eternal destiny, that you can get it settled before it's too late. Now our text is Matthew 25, and we're going to be dealing with verse 14 to 30. It says in verse 14, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, he straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them other 5 talents. More. And the Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Ooh, that's good report. 22. He also that hath received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art an hard man. Hard. Reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, he said. And he went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, here is that. Here, lo, there thou hast, that is thine. His Lord answered and said, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reaped where I sowed not. Thou gather and gatherest where I have not straw. Thou oughtest therefore have put my money into the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent for him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let's pray. Father, this morning I pray your blessings. I pray you'll help me to faithfully declare your word. And Lord, I pray for utterance of clarity, that you would, Lord, help me to be clear at the word, that it would be understood, and that, God, you'd use it, please, please. We'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I said, you know, that church often is like the brides, or rather the bridesmaids, those that were part of the wedding party. Five, you know, there were 10 virgins. They all had lamps. Only 5 of them had oil. That would mean the other 5 boasted of being part of the wedding party, but they didn't have the oil. They weren't really ready for this, you know, this ceremony to come. They weren't really ready for the coming of the bridegroom, which is a shame. It's a sad testimony. 2 weeks ago, we talked about procrastination. And I'm burdened because just like in Noah's day, there are many who know they need to get saved, but they're procrastinating. Just like we procrastinate our homework, just like we procrastinate mowing the lawn or doing the dishes or housework, cleaning the closet, cleaning the garage, cleaning the van, the car, vacuuming it out, you know. We procrastinate that stuff because, you know, we're not really interested in getting it done right away for whatever reason. Procrastinate, procrastinate, procrastinate. Well, you can't do that with your walk with God. You cannot do that in your relationship with God. Because he's going to come in a moment, in a time, whenever you're not expecting it. And the implication here is you don't know when you're going to meet God. You know, I've talked to young people along the way. They're like, you know, I'm not really so concerned about things because I'm young. I'm going to live my life. I'm going to kind of do my thing, and I'm going to be okay. I was a youth pastor for 10 years. Do you think I ever did a funeral? I did, more than one. Teenagers die. It's not a good testimony. It's not like I'm excited to say that. But it also helps us to know, doesn't it, that we're all going to die someday. But the reality is we don't know when. And our relationship with God is not something to be procrastinated about. But those, as in Noah's day, Noah preached, he built the ark. Hey, Noah, what are you doing? I'm building the ark. Why are you building an ark? Well, it's going to rain and it's going to flood and the whole world is going to be judged by God because of the wickedness of this world. Oh, it's going to rain. We've never seen that before. And they procrastinated and they procrastinated, but then the rain started coming, but the door was already shut. It was too late. Laziness. That's what we talked about last week. Lazy. And an epidemic of laziness in our world today. You know, I mean, you know, there's one thing to be lazy in regards to worldly things. It's a whole other thing to be lazy in regards to doing for God and being prepared in our relationship with God. And all of these are regarding salvation. All of these are regarding relationship. So procrastination and laziness, not prepared whenever he comes. I'm not ready. Not ready. And that was the brides, the virgins, rather. Not the brides, but the bridesmaids, the virgins. They knew they needed the oil, but they didn't prepare themselves, and they weren't ready when he came. And so today, isn't it fitting? We did procrastination, and then last week we did laziness. And today, we're going to talk about neglect. Neglect. The man buried his talent. Are you kidding me? Like he dug a hole in the ground and buried it in the ground. You can't get any more neglectful than that. He, by his own testimony, by the words out of his own mouth, he said, oh, I know there's going to be a judgment day. Oh, I know that he's going to come. Oh, I know that he's a hard and a faithful judge. But I'm still going to bury this thing in the ground. That's sheer neglect. Just thought he could stick it in the ground. Maybe it would go away. You know, it's kind of like my kids. They just shove everything in the closet. Call it good. It's not good. Throw everything in the toy box. It's not good. You know, or whenever we're playing hide and seek and they got their head stuck under a pillow. their whole body. I can see it just out right in the wide open. But they don't think I see them because they can't see me. And sometimes we treat our sin that way. Oh, you know, I'm just going to bury this thing. I'm just going to kind of, you know what? If I don't go to church, then I don't hear this message about the gospel and salvation and all this need. If I just neglect it, then it goes away. Wrong. Well, you can neglect it, but it's not going away. It's not going away. The idea today is maximizing your opportunity. That's the idea. Don't neglect. But you have great opportunity this morning. Great opportunity. Maximize on your opportunity. Your 5 talents, take this 5 talents and use it and get 5 more talents. You have 2 talents, use those 2 talents and get 2 more talents. You have 1 talent, use it and get 1 more talent. But don't neglect it. Don't bury it in the dirt. Maximize opportunity. We have been given such great opportunity, friends. We have been given such great opportunity to do for God and have the ability to listen to God. Such great opportunity. The question is, what are we doing with the opportunity that we've been given? You say, Pastor, well, you've been given much more opportunity than I have. Hey, listen, don't you love this illustration? You have some that have 5 and some that have 2 and some that have 1. Does it ever bring judgment or condemnation on how many talents you have? No. It's only and only and only what you're doing with the opportunity that you have been given. How are you using the opportunity you've been given? John Greenleaf Whittier says this in his famous poem, "Of all sad words of tongue and pen, the saddest are these, it might have been. Lost opportunity." Lost opportunity is a fitting topic for our subject today, because there has been many who have been raised or given privilege being in a home of a parent who cares. You know, it might be that you were raised in a home that of a parent that cares, or currently being raised in a home of a parent who, what do you mean cares? Well, I mean cares enough to make you go to church or help you, to encourage you to have devotions or read your Bible, whatever the case. I mean, a parent that helps you in that direction, that's opportunity. And children have been given opportunity. I would say if my kids are in here, they have great opportunity. Many opportunities. I would say in regards to opportunity, they would definitely be in the upper echelon of that. 5 talent. We're not talking about ability here. We're talking about opportunity. And they have been given much great opportunity. Well, how do you say that, Pastor? Well, they're in church every single time the doors are open. Because it would be kind of weird if the pastor didn't show up on church times. Wouldn't that be weird? Oh, you know, we have Sunday night church and that pastor didn't show up. That doesn't happen. And wherever I go, guess who comes along with me? All those little guys, you know? Unless they're barfing. And then we've had many days where they come even when they're doing that. And they might be in my office, but they're here. Listen, they've been given great opportunity, but not just because they're in church every time the doors are open. By the way, when we are at church, what do? We preach the Bible. And so you get exposed to the Bible. I mean, you're getting exposed to the Word of God. You know, I might not be the best preacher in the world, but listen, when I'm teaching you this, you are given opportunity. Because this is God's Word. And those kids, they've been given that opportunity. Praise God for that. Then we go home, and what do? Every night, we have family devotions every single night. Now, I'm not saying that we're the perfect model family. Don't take me wrong here. And we have our problems. But there's one thing I'd say. You know what we're going to do? We're going to have family devotions. We're going to do it every night. And it might not be the best way to have family devotions either, but we do it every night. We get in the Bible every night. We sing every night. We have testimony every night. Every single night, those kids, listen, they have opportunity. And so I would say, you know what? There's people today that have been given great opportunity. It might be that there's some here this morning, you say, I haven't been given that much opportunity. Maybe you weren't raised in a home that gave you that, or maybe you don't have the ability to, you know, be exposed to it as much. Hey, listen, there's no condemnation. It's not God is saying, well, this is better than that. Well, these kids are better than those kids, or these adults are better than those adults. No. It's opportunity. What are you doing with your opportunity? That's the point. Seize and maximize opportunity. The only other thing that we have to do with the opportunity that God has been given to us, every single time we're exposed to the Word of God, is to either maximize our opportunity or neglect it by digging a hole and sticking it in the ground and forgetting about it. Can you maybe agree with me in way of testimony? Maybe not about yourself, but just generally speaking, I would say probably some of you could testify about yourself in this, that our tendency is to dig a hole and stick it in the ground and forget about it, rather than to maximize the opportunities we've been given. What I mean is to respond when God speaks to our heart. Every time the Bible is being taught, that we would respond, that we would have greater and stronger commitment and not less commitment, that we would want to do more and grow more and become stronger and not do less and less and less. You see the difference is one who maximizes opportunity and the other who neglects, digs a hole and sticks in the ground and forgets about it. The master here dispersed the goods to his servants, and it's clear, it's abundantly, outrageously clear that he dispersed them based upon opportunity. I mean, the idea is, it's clear that it's made clear that they have been given different levels of opportunity. Now, I want you to see in verse 14. The kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country. That would be God. Okay, this is a parable, so we're going to make connections here. This one's obvious. He traveled into a far country. What's that mean? Well, he was here, and now he's in heaven at the right hand of the Father. But guess what? He's coming back to reconcile. That's the idea. So he's traveling into a far country. And who called? Now here's what he did. He called his own servants and delivered to them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents. Now I want you to understand something about his servants here. We have to make sure that we understand something about this. That being that this is a parable, we can't make theology out of this. We have to understand God is making a spiritual point. And the point is, don't neglect your opportunity. That's the point. He tells us that in the end. But we know that just because they were servants doesn't mean necessarily that they're saved. Because in the end, we have some that are being cast into the lake of fire forever. And so the idea here is that they have been given this opportunity. Take this opportunity and maximize it. Verse 15, he says unto them, he gave 5 talents to some, other 2, and another 1. Every man according to his several ability. Now this word several ability, it means their personal ability, their capacity, if you would. And so he gives them, every one of us have different abilities. Well, the implication here is, all of us have opportunity. It might be that we not all have the same opportunity. Okay, that, again, I'm making the same point, but it doesn't mean one is better than another. Talent here, we would automatically sort of default back to one of the earlier parables that Jesus has already taught and say, well, it has to do specifically with our abilities. But in the text, the word talent literally means a weight, such as in a certain amount of money, like a weight in a talent, a certain weight. And so it emphasizing our opportunity. Okay, and then he took his journey. Some took advantage of their opportunity, didn't they? Verse 16 and 17, look at it. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. And so some of the servants worked to reproduce their talents. They maximized their opportunity, didn't they? Now, what did they do? Well, you know, I mean, this word traded, the implied is that they worked. They maximized the opportunity that was given to them by the master. And so maybe we could see it this way. That you've been given opportunity when you hear the word of God. And whenever you hear from God and he speaks to you, or you have maybe an opportunity to hear the word of God, that you would do your best to, you know, really listen and really get it. And not just, you know, not just be here, I mean, because that's important that you're here, but when the Word of God is being taught, that you're listening to it, that you're taking it in, and you're asking God to give you direction, and you're asking Him to help you to know what He'd have you to do, help you to know what He'd have you to change. The context here, we're speaking of people who have either A, taken the opportunity to receive salvation, or B, those that neglected the opportunity, almost like those who procrastinated and just were flat lazy and weren't prepared when He came. And so you either maximize and take the opportunity that you've been given to receive salvation, or you neglect it, and you neglect it. And in the end, you'll either be ready or you won't be ready. But we do the same thing as Christians whenever we, you know, it might be that you're saved this morning, and we know you don't have to work your way. We know you don't have to work your way into salvation. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, 8, 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And so our works, therefore, after salvation would be in response, listen now, in response to the Word of God. Why do you do what you do? Why are you as involved as you are? Why are you as faithful as you are? Why are you, you know, growing in the way that you're growing? It's because of God's Word. It's because I'm at church. It's because the preacher's preaching, the teacher's teaching, and I'm listening, and God is changing me, as it says, and I believe in Romans, from glory to glory. He's changing us to be more like Him, to be more in His likeness, to be in His image. Listen, there's no power in me. Listen, if you're waiting for just a fireworks display of preaching, you know, this is the greatest preacher ever. Listen, that's not what it takes. It's the Holy Spirit who works through His Word, and then we respond to it. And then He changes us from glory to glory, little by little. And these are those that heard from God, and they maximized the opportunity that they were given. But then there's one that neglected. Look at verse 18. He had that, "But he that had received one talent digged it in the earth and hid his Lord's money." This was a common thing to do in those days if you wanted to save money. And we've studied this before back in Matthew 13 when a man bought a hidden treasure, or rather hidden field, remember? Or rather he bought a field because in the field was a hidden treasure. And you might remember that in those times when we studied this before, that people used the ground as sort of a safe for their money. You know, they'd you know, go a certain amount of steps or whatever from a tree, and that's where they buried their fortune. Well, this guy dug a hole in the ground, certain paces from a tree, put the Lord's money there, his master's rather money there. So what is this saying about him? He absolutely wasted his opportunity. He wasted his privilege. And the implication here is that he did whatever he wanted to do. My kids, you know, this week, Melissa not feeling well. I was dehydrated for like 2 or 3 days this week. And man, have you ever been dehydrated? It's such a miserable feeling. It took me like 2 days to recover from that, just drinking water nonstop. But, you know, so we're home a lot this week, and I'm trying to work, going out of my mind. You know, you guys are so loud. I'm like, guys, you kind of have to be quiet. I got to study, you know. And, you know, I'm just thinking about Matthew. I'm thinking about this wasted opportunity. And I'm telling the kids, okay, guys, I'm going to let you watch a cartoon. Because that, you know, it does two good things. It allows them to watch a cartoon, and it creates quiet time, you know. And I'm not just saying I use that as a babysitter, but man, I look forward to those when I'm trying to study. So, you know, there, I said, okay, you guys need to clean up your room. You need to do your thing. And Caleb and Grant, they were fighting each other. They were fighting each other about something dumb. And I said, guys, you just lost your privilege. And so you don't get to watch the cartoon. And they didn't. The other two guys got to watch the cartoon, and those two guys wasted their opportunity, didn't they? And I think that's what this guy did. He had a talent given to him by his master. He dug a hole in the ground, and he wasted it. And that's what our tendency is. because we have all been given great opportunity. And now listen, I'm not telling you you're wasting opportunity. I'm simply saying that our tendency is to waste our opportunities. And we sit under the teaching of God's word, and we don't grow. We're not taking it in. I mean, listen, now, again, it might be that you're hearing a sermon and I'm preaching about, you know, something that needs to work, a mechanism that needs to change in our life. And I'm teaching you right from the Word of God. And then you leave church and you go to your car and nothing changes. Nothing changes. No decisions are made. It's just life as normal. And you know, I think that as Christians, along the way, it might be that our tendency is to do that. We would hear from God. He would speak to us. We would know what He wants us to do. And then we leave and we take that opportunity we've been given and we dig it and put it, dig a hole and put it in the ground and cover it up and forget about it. And we don't do what God has called us to do. That's a lost, wasted opportunity. And every time God works in us, we lose opportunity. And it might be that God is working in your heart. He's touched you. He's drawing you. He's speaking to you. And every time you hear from God, every time you hear a great truth, every time, this is what amazes me, that I could be teaching the Word of God and God is speaking to your hearts in all kinds of different ways. And I'm amazed about that. I'm like, wow, I wasn't even thinking about that when I was studying this sermon. But God's working in your heart. And He's touching you and He's giving you these opportunities to respond. And I know this happens. I know this happens. And every time you hear God's word, every time you hear a truth, it's God dropping opportunity in your bag. He's dropping opportunity in your bag. And if you're lost, you have opportunity today. If you have a godly family, you have great opportunity. If you're a part of a good church, you have an opportunity. You have an opportunity you don't even know. I'm not even talking about regionally. You could drive 50 miles in any direction from right here. You can drive 50 miles in any direction from here. And you're not going to, now listen and understand what I'm saying here, is you're not going to find a church that is going to be faithful to the full counsel of the Word of God, like you're going to find here. You say, well, that's pretty arrogant, you know, preacher. Hey, listen, we're just standing for truth, standing for right, going forward with the glory of God. And so you can, now again, do you have to go in every church to know that? No, I think that maybe you could just go into a few and probably know there's something different that's happening here. Something different happening here. And what is that? It's opportunity. We have an opportunity in Falls City that there's a lot of towns don't have this opportunity in this region. Not in this region. You go to Oklahoma, there's a lot of churches down there that you're going to find they're going to be faithful to the full counsel of the Word of God. I'm not just talking about they're good in one aspect of doctrine or they're good in another aspect of doctrine. But the full counsel of the Word of God from cover to cover, right here, that's opportunity. Then whenever you go to Africa, you know what you won't find? You won't find a gospel-preaching church in entire countries. I mean, what I mean is, hours, you'll drive hours and hours and hours to find a church. And then whenever you go in there, it's not a gospel-preaching church. So we have opportunity, don't we, in America? We see, you know, that's so. Yeah, I was in South Africa, actually, not too long ago. And we had church on the camp where we were because I was talking to the guys that own the camp where we were. And they said, the only church that I know of is 6 hours away from here. And it wasn't a gospel-preaching church. So we have opportunity. So if we decide to neglect the opportunity, then what does that mean? Well, if you're not saved and you neglect your opportunity, when he comes, you'll be cast into the lake of fire forever. That's what he says. When the master comes, he settles the accounts. And those who neglected their opportunity were condemned. They were cast into the lake of fire forever. Verse 19, he says, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth. That word reckoneth means to settle up. So he settled the account. And the master did come. And he is coming. Verse 20. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And we understand the Lord said, well done. And then verse 22, the 2-talent man came and said, Lord, I did that. The Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. The idea here is excellent. Excellent, you've done what you've needed to do. Thou faithful in a few things, I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter in the joy of the Lord. Now, I think that it's easy to note here that you have some that are, you know, that have taken the opportunity and maximized those opportunities. And you have some that neglected, that we're going to see here in a minute. And those that entered into the joy of the Lord, we know that those are the ones that are going to be going to heaven. It's easy to see that. The last servant, he knew it, his master was inflexible. He still neglected his opportunity, didn't he? He was cast into the lake of fire. He was cast into hell. Look at verse 24. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid. And he went and hid his talent in the earth. Lo, there hast thou that is thine. The last servant was afraid. He knew that his master was inflexible with his expectations. Hard means rough or stiff. Reaping and gathering here would mean the master had expectations. It would mean that he was inflexible with his expectations. You know, it could be almost like this. A guy who's, neglected his opportunity, and he did whatever he wanted to do. And then whenever he's judged, it's almost like the bad guy really isn't him. The bad guy is this hard God who's rough and stiff. Well, you know, if you weren't so rough and stiff in your expectations, you know, then maybe I'd have done okay. And then God, all of a sudden, in this guy's testimony, becomes the bad guy because he neglected. He neglected. There's only one way to be saved. And I want you to understand, there's no flexibility with that. Phobio here means paralyzed by fear. And then he fled, it says. So the idea is he's fleeing, which implies neglect. He's running away from his responsibility. He neglected his responsibility. And he knew. He knew there would be a reckoning day, a judgment day. You know, this gets me. You know, I was a teenager, and a girl, 18 years old, was dating a guy in our church, 16 years old. Nobody knew they were having sex. Nobody knew that. She got pregnant. I didn't even know they were a couple. She got pregnant, 18 years old. He's 16. You know, their lives are a wreck. Listen, they got married, which shouldn't have happened. I mean, they were a little bit young for that. Probably should have went down a different road with counsel, and then eventually, you know, we would have saw maybe a good union there. Messed their lives up, wrecked their lives, got divorced. He's had, you know, several children in the mix of this. He moved down to Texas. Whenever that all broke loose, I was a junior in high school. This girl was she was a senior, I was a junior. And this young man, he was 16, he was younger than me 1 year. He and I played on the same basketball team together. That guy was good. I mean, he could shoot threes like nobody's business. It was awesome. We had a good team. And I'll never forget, sitting in the parking lot at church, just heard the news that he had done that. And I knew what the ramifications for him in his life. I knew, it's like at 17 years old, it's like all the lights came on in my life. And I realized, I don't want that. I don't want that life. You know? And all of those verses that I'd learned as a kid when my mom would sit there and I'd be like, she'd be reading Proverbs every day, and I'm like, oh, man. And all those verses started coming back to me. And it was like I could see it. And it was as though the Lord was asking me this question. What are you going to do with your opportunity? Look what they did. Great opportunity. Christian school kids. I'm not talking about wicked kids. I mean, these kids were faithful to church. We played Christian school basketball. I mean, we're going to the Christian school. I mean, this is great opportunity. We heard preaching every day in school. And it was as though the Lord says, what are you going to do with your opportunity to me? And I decided at that moment, I'll never ever forget it, that I don't want to go down that road. I want to take different opportunity. I want to take a different path with the opportunity that God has given to me. The Lord answered and said unto this guy, verse 26, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strawn. It's like the master says, why are you neglecting this? You know that there's going to be a judgment day. Look at the opportunity you've been given. Why are you neglecting this opportunity? That's what he's saying. You knew there would be a day. Well, if I stuck my head in the ground, then maybe that day of judgment and reckoning is going to go away. No. It's not going to go away. Verse 27, thou oughtest therefore have put my money in the exchangers, and then at the coming I would have received mine own with usury. So, I mean, this guy issues an excuse, basically calls the master a hard judge, inflexible, and it's your fault that I'm being judged. And he says, oh, no, no, you were given opportunity and you neglected it. Verse 28, take therefore the talent from him and give it to him that had 10. Verse 29, for unto every one that hath shall be given, and him that and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. So we know verse 29 tells us we're not talking about working your way to heaven. We're talking about you've been given opportunity, but you have not received it. You've been given opportunity, but you didn't seize on it. Therefore, that opportunity will be lost. It will be given in way of maybe just the illustration, as Jesus is saying here, it's given away to those that did seize on the opportunity. But the implication here is that if we neglect on the opportunities that God has given to us, then we, in the end, will lose that opportunity. And of course, the ultimate message here is to get saved. Get saved before it's too late. Verse 30, and cast ye the unprofitable servant in outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So those who would neglect their opportunity to be saved would one day be cast into hell forever. Isn't that right? You know, it's crazy to me, but there's so many people that claim to be Christians that aren't, you know. I'm a Christian, but they're not, you know, and it burdens me. Because, I mean, I think that's the idea that Jesus is trying to get across here whenever he talks about the 10 virgins and they all have the lamps, you know? So they all claim to be part of the wedding party, but only 5 of them have the oil. And so I want to say something this morning to you. Just because you're here doesn't mean you're saved. Okay? I'm glad you're here. But salvation is a decision that we make to receive Jesus Christ. And it's not just that we believe in Jesus Christ. It's when we turn to Him in repentance. And salvation, it's a transformation that God does in us. It's an event. It's a day in our life when we chose to do that. And we've been given opportunity because we hear the Word of God. We hear the gospel. And, you know, some of us might have heard it a lot. Some of us very little. But everyone in here has been given this opportunity because you're here. But sometimes we just don't want to, for whatever reason, we being generally speaking, I don't know your heart, okay? You might be saved this morning. My prayer is, I'm just going through the list. I mean, it's not like there's a lot of us here. You know, I can say, okay, we have good testimony of being saved this morning. You know, I can just see that along the way. But who really knows if you're saved? You and God. That's it. Okay? And it's based upon your decision to receive God as He spoke to your heart. He drew you, you repented, you turned to Him, you received Him. It's not outward stuff, you know? It's like the guy who got a new job and he's, you know, all excited about the job. He's standing behind the counter. He's got all, he gets his pencils all in order. He gets his stapler. He gets everything. You know, he's a clerk behind the desk and everything's in order. And his first customer comes in and he wants to put on a good show, you know. So he picks up the phone really fast and he's like, yeah. And he acts like he's talking to the president. And he goes along and, saying, you know, giving counsel to the president, you know, and the guy's at the counter, he's, you know, wait, hang on a second, he's counseling the president, as though he's telling the president exactly how to do things. You know, he's giving all this counsel, telling the president what to do, and then, okay, thank you, Mr. President, and we'll talk to you later, goodbye. And then he says, how can I help you? And the guy behind the counter says, oh, yeah, I'm just here to hook the phone systems up. You know, I think sometimes that's how we are in our relationship with God. We act like we're talking to Him, but there isn't anybody on the other end of the line. It's just all a show. That's like the five virgins with no oil. And here's the warning. You have been given great opportunity. Every time you hear the Word of God, you've been given great opportunity. Don't neglect it. Not just in way of being saved, but also in our service to God and what we do for Him. Neglected opportunities. What does it lead to? Destruction. I worked HVAC for 4 years whenever I was in high school. You know what? We did a lot of service calls for people who just won't clean their filters. I know that sounds silly, but we would do service calls and they would pay us $89 to do a service call. And the reason why is because they didn't clean their filters. They neglected it. Or those of us who have, you know, food in the fridge, and we, so it just depends on which home we're in, because some of us takes food very seriously. No neglect there, but you know what happens when you neglect food in the fridge, right? It gets that mold growing on it, and we're not going to eat it unless we are really hungry, but we're not eating it when it has the mold, and the neglect ruined it. The neglect in our life will ruin the things in our life, just as though neglect in our walk with God will ruin our walk with God. It'll ruin our ability to serve Him when we neglect our opportunities. I want to give you a statement tonight. The statement is, it's a tragedy to neglect your opportunity. It's a tragedy to neglect it. So what does God want you to do? When you're at church, listen. Take it seriously. Take it seriously. You're here. You're here for a couple hours. You know, if you come on Sunday night, you're here for 1 hour. Well, usually an hour and 15 minutes. We start at 6. We're usually out here by 7:15. For those of you that don't come on Sunday nights, okay? It's not a long, long thing. 6 to about 7:15. You might be interested. We teach the Bible. When you're here, listen. Thursday nights, we have church. From 7 to 8, and we are done sometimes before 8. And we're pretty faithful to that. When you're here, listen to it. It's just a short time. But take it seriously. Get excited about it. You know, this is the main thing right here. This is the main event. We come to church to hear the Word of God. I don't know if you've noticed this, but our church isn't a concert. It never will be, by God's grace. We will have our music program, God willing, will grow and become strong, and you know, we'll really go down a, you know, make things really good in the way of music, but that's not the reason we come to church. We come so we can hear the Word of God. This is the main event. So when it's the time to hear the Bible, I mean, we get our notepad out. We open up our hearts and we open up our minds and we listen to God. Maximize your opportunity. Receive from God. When it's time for Sunday school, listen. Listen the best you can. When it's time for the preaching, listen for the best you can. Take advantage of this teaching you're receiving. Because I don't know about you, but I'm not sure how much time we have left. Boy, I don't know. You know, it's doing all this studying about the second coming and then looking at mercy, what's happening in the world. It makes me feel like, wow, it could be any time, right? I think we should maximize our opportunity. Now, take opportunity to serve God with what ability and with what time that you have. Get committed. Become part of the church. Do things as you can do them. And maximize opportunity. You know, a lot of times it has to do with our attitude, doesn't it? What we do with opportunities we've been given. Our attitude. If we have a bad attitude, then we're only going to see the negative side of everything. It's like the guy who went to Africa, shoe salesman, he went to Africa, and he's like, oh, there is no work over here. Nobody has shoes. Nobody wears shoes over here. So he left, he went back to the company, says, man, there is no business in Africa. Nobody wears shoes. They sent another employee over. He's like, send all of the shoes in the whole factory. There is not anybody over here who has any shoes. They both observed the same thing. One of them had the right perspective and saw opportunity. And he maximized that opportunity. And that's what God wants us to do. Seize and maximize opportunity. Just take opportunity to serve the Lord. Mercy, listen. He has something for you. Because it's a tragedy to neglect your opportunity. Father, this morning, Lord, we've done our best to teach your word, Lord, to done our best to make it clear. And Father, I pray for your help this morning to take heed to the Word of God, to maximize on the opportunity that you've given to us, Lord. Help us have the right attitude. Help us to move forward instead of backwards, Lord. Help us to see what you'd have us to do and make decision in obedience. Lord, it might be that somebody here doesn't know for sure if they're saved. I pray, God, that you'll work in them, please. And it might be, Lord, that there are some here that are saved, and God, they're maybe would identify that they're not maximizing on opportunity that you've given to them. Lord, I pray you'd work in them. And then, Lord, those that are here that, Lord, really are just thankful for you and thankful for your word and trying to live for you. And I pray, God, that you'll bring blessing and encouragement in the hearts of your people. We'll give you glory in Jesus' precious name, we pray and ask. Amen.